From Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parashat Shemot, Gentile Names. We know that many people have Gentile names. Jewish people have Gentile names. Judah Maccabee had Judeus, Maccabeus, all the different Maccabees, according to the book of Josephus, they had different names. We know that there were rabbis in the Talmud had names such as Sumchus. We know that there were, in Europe, people had names that were sometimes Yiddish and not really Hebrew. So what's the story with Gentile names? Is there a problem? Is it prohibition? What's going on? Well, we know there's a famous midrash. It starts in Vayikra Rabbah. You find it in Mechilta also, that Rav Huna, B'Sim Rav Kapara, Zchus Arba Dvarim, in the merit of four things, Israel was redeemed from Egypt. Number one, Loshino Hashemam, they didn't change their names. Number two, Loshino Hashona, they didn't change their language. There are other sources that indicate they didn't change their clothing. And V'lo'om Loshin Hara, the third thing, they didn't speak slander. And the fourth, Lo Nimza Behem Echad Parz Be'erva. None of them were licentious. They had good family structures. How do we know this? We find L'mishpachotam, they were counted according to their families. And when they went down to Egypt, they're quoted, they're named Reuven, Shimon, Levi, according to the tribes. And when they came out of Egypt, they're still Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yudah. They're still according to their tribes. They maintained their family lineage. They knew who their fathers and mothers were. And they had those same names, the name of Reuven and Shimon. So if you just looked at that midrash, source number one, you'd say, well, should I name my child Jason or Martin or something like that? You'd say, well, if the Jews were praised for not changing their names to Gentile names, maybe Jews should do the same thing. Or do you say, well, you know what's a Jewish name? Irving. Irving is a very good Jewish name, right? A lot of Jews have the name Irving from the olden days. Today, maybe Max. They're well-known Jewish names. So maybe that would be a good name for a Jewish person. Tosfos in Gittin was asked about the following. There was a fellow who used to be Jewish. Then he converted to Catholicism in France in the 13th century or so. And then, of course, his wife is stuck. She's still Jewish. She doesn't want to be a Catholic. She's not converting. So they asked him, please, divorce your wife. So he said, he wrote a writ of divorce. And in the get, it says the Jewish name. But everyone knows that he's no longer known by the Jewish name. He's not Jewish anymore. So if you ask, what is his name? They would say his name is Christiana. His name is DeJesus. His name is not Shlema, or whatever it was when he was Jewish. So is the get still kosher? Says Ritam Chalila Lahazkir Shemo Zechov Mitoris Moshe Yisrael. God forbid that we should mention the names of idols in a get, which is written according to the laws of Moses and Israel. And he proves that it's still kosher if you go the other way. That if a convert used his Gentile name, it also is kosher. So it's still kosher, even though it's not his actual name. It's one of his names, and it's good enough. So it seems that if he would say that in a get, a Jewish document, although it's a functional document, it's not a holy document, but it's a mitzvah document, it has to be written a certain way. If in such a document, you're not allowed to write the Goyish name, the Gentile name, so then how can we give our children Gentile names about which Rabbeinu Tam says, how dare someone write a non-Jewish name in a get? Or maybe he's talking about Christian names. Maybe the fellow's name is something related to Christianity. So to write in a get, Christian gave a get to Devorah, that's very bizarre. But if his name was Mark, I don't know, maybe that's also Christian. Pick another name. His name was Max. So then maybe that he wouldn't object to. And he doesn't have any objection to Max. It's only a Christian name that he has an objection to. In fact, the Shut Maram Sheik, the responsa of the rabbi known as Maram Sheik, lived in the 19th century Hungary. He wrote this follows. Yesh me'al mishim chani matzvim mishim goyim. There are some Jews who call themselves in Gentile names. And the fellow who wrote the question to him rebuked them and said, after all, in the Medrash it says, in the merit of the fact that the Jews didn't change their names, they were exiled, they were taken out of Egypt. And so the people who had the Gentile names, they say, well, we have a Jewish name and we have a Gentile name, so we use the Jewish name in shul when we get called to the Torah, and within the Gentile name we use it in work. So he says, that's ridiculous. It's an Isur D'oraisa. Ram Sheikh maintains that it's a Torah prohibition, because the Rambam, in the laws of idolatry, says that Kedoshim to you should be holy. Avdil Chem Amim, I separated you to be separate from the nations. Any effort to be like the Gentiles is a Torah prohibition, according to Ram Sheikh. He says, they learn in the Sifri, in the Medrash, that you're not allowed to be like the Gentiles in any sort of way. Now, the Rambam mentions clothing, the way they walk, their customs, and he assumes, Ram Sheikh assumes, that this applies to names as well. And he would say, perhaps it's a Torah violation to give yourself a name that's a Gentile kind of a name. However, we generally follow Igros Moshe, Reb Moshe Feinstein, and he says as follows, Gam gone olam migdolei rishonim kabbalah magid mishnah. There are many great rabbis who had Gentile names, like the Magid Mishnah. One of the commentaries on the bottom of the Rambam, it's called the Magid Mishnah, it's a very long commentary. His name is Rabbeinu Vidal. Vidal is not a Jewish name. And that's his name. Moshe ben Maimon. Maimon is not a Hebrew word. I don't know what it is, but it's not Hebrew. And he says, we can't say that Rambam's grandfather named his son Maimon, that was going against the Torah. God forbid. He says, these are names that we're used to, and there's no problem with it. And therefore, if, let's say, your grandmother's name was Matilda, okay? And you want to name your daughter after your grandmother. It's a beautiful thing. It's honor of the grandmother. What if it's, God forbid, you have to name a child after your mother? It's a beautiful thing to honor your mother. And if her name was Matilda, Reb Moshe Feinstein says, you can call the child Matilda. You don't have to change it to Machla, Noah, Malka. You don't have to change it. If her name was Matilda, you can call her Matilda. It's not a problem at all. So, what about the fact that the rabbi said, oh, it's so great that the Jews in Egypt didn't change their name and didn't change their clothing? He said, that was before they got the Torah. What distinguished a Jew in Egypt from a Gentile, from an Egyptian? Clothing, language, and name. But nowadays, we have many things. We have the Jewish customs, where a Jew wears a boy wears a kippah, girls wear modest clothing. We have we keep Shabbos, we eat kosher. Everybody we work with, everybody we surrounded with, everyone who knows us, they all know we're Jewish. We live in Jewish neighborhoods, we go to Jewish schools. So of course we're Jewish. So you have to have a Jewish name. What difference does it make if someone is a rabbi and is Rabbi Max or his name is Rabbi Moshe? It's either way, everybody knows who he is. There's no hiding of his identity. So therefore, you could use whatever name you wanted. However, there are limitations. Let's say, for instance, let's say you wanted to name your child after someone who was wicked. And by the way, we do find there's one of the rabbis in the Tosfot, his name is Rabbi Peter, not a Jewish name. There was rabbis in the Talmud, Vardimus and Avardimus, and there's even a rabbi in Yerushalmi Trumus, Rabbi Chia bar Rav Titus, Titus, the most evil of all people. But there is a Gemara in Gittin that says, 11b, that if you bring a get from outside of Israel and it has a signature and it has like a Gentile name on it, don't say to yourself, wait a minute, you think this is a kosher get? This is signed by these two Gentiles. No, that's what Jews in Gentile countries, they have Gentile names. And the Talmud doesn't seem to get excited about it. They say that's the way it is. So perhaps another good source that you could have this. What if, or you could have Gentile names. What if someone wants to name their child Ishmael? So is that a violation? The Gemara in Yuma, says that the names of the wicked should rot. You don't name your children after a wicked person. So what about Ishmael? Ishmael, we often think of him as a person who was very wild and immoral with Isaac. So they say, number one, his name was given by God. Number two, his name is good, even if he at times he wasn't good. Number three, he did tshuva, he repented. So there's nothing wrong with him. On the contrary, he became a very, one of our pious figures. When he dies, there's no difference in the way his death is described. So the way Sarah's death is described, he became very pious. So it's not a problem. But in general, if someone is wicked, that could be a problem. In fact, the Gemara mentions that Rabbi Meir used to interpret the names. He was very careful about names. He once came to a certain place, and he said, "What's your name?" He says, "Kidor." So he says, "Oh, he's no good." Kidor tapu chod hema. It must come from the verse that it's a generation of topsy turvy. So he's no good. So he protected himself from being stolen. He didn't entrust his purse to this fellow because his name was no good. A name can imply certain things. So on the one hand, there's no technical prohibition. Moshe hesitated to actually say this. He said, "Well, I still hesitate about it, but this is what I think." But Rav Moshe seems to say that it would be okay to have a Gentile name, especially if you want to honor a certain relative with a certain name. And as we saw, many people from the Greek era, through the medieval period in France, through modern times, Sephardic countries, other places, they had Gentile names. Many Yiddish people in the last few hundred years had Yiddish names. They were uniquely Jewish, but they weren't Hebrew, I'll tell you that much. They changed their language. They changed it from Hebrew to Yiddish. So in that sense, it's not really such a big issue. However, we do want to have an influence on the child. When we give a name, we hope that that name has a beautiful influence. Rabbi Weinberg once said that it's a good idea to name a child after someone who lived a nice life, and you could say nice things about them. They don't have to be perfect. And that poor child could say, "You know what? I could be like Uncle Herb. He was a nice fella. He lived, he died, he was married, he had children. And no one ever said anything too bad about him. You know, he was good, he was a good guy." And it's a nice thing to know that there's an actual person that you can be like them. But if you can name them after someone who's particularly aspirational, particularly inspiring, then certainly, according to Rav Meir, there's an idea that the Shema Garam, that somehow the name could have an impact. Maybe that beautiful name will help them. Maybe your name is all you got. And when it comes down to it, we are our name. And if we have a nice name, maybe that can help elevate you, can help you, lift you up. So in the end, most people would disagree with the Maharsham that there's no technical violation of the Torah to call yourself by a Gentile name. Maybe it was really mostly for the Egyptian Jews who were so far removed, who did worship idols, that at least they had one thing. They didn't change their cultural names, language, clothing. But nonetheless, there could be something to having a nice Jewish name, a name that reflects pietism, a name that reflects good values. And therefore, we try to name our children after nice people that we know, and also after biblical characters or words that reflect a beautiful idea that we're trying to convey, we're trying to give to the child, to uplift them, to help them, because sometimes maybe it's true that Shema Garam, maybe the name could have some influence on their lives. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lemeth Congregation for our discussion of names. Join us each week for a discussion of the Parsha and the holidays. And thanks, Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.